not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, oh, oh Lord.
The radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Al Toy.
They are not here on their own accord. And Father, that help us to understand that we're all accountable to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, whatever we need, we know that you have it. For your servant Paul wrote to us that our God, my God, will supply all I need according to his riches and glory. We thank you, Lord, that you're never deficient. You're never bankrupt. You're never lacking. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let me be able to articulate and minister your word. Father, let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and prosperity even into those who hear and believe. Father, we ask you and we thank you now for your blessing. We thank you, Lord God, that you've looked over the celestial banners of heaven and pours out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. In our moment of intimacy, you've kissed us and we've become made whole. We thank you, Lord. And Father, after you've touched and healed and delivered and saved and blessed, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. I want to use for thought, although we are talking about being more than conquerors, my second thought is the power of persuasion. The power of persuasion. Amen. When this means when you're going to battle, you are the best man. And there's no doubt that it's set up. Amen. That it's a setup that God already set the race. He's already set up the match. In other words, God is the promoter and he already picked who he wants to win. You ought to get with me today. And you might as well buy your ticket now and watch this battle, because I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to come on and say hallelujah. I'm not only going to fight the good fight of faith, but I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm going to battle against the enemy because of the love of God. Because I know he loves me. He's not going to leave me here. Because I know he loves me. He'll give me strength. And you know what I love about this? Is that the reason why I'm more than a conqueror. He loved me so much that he gave me the Holy Ghost on the inside. He said that the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, will shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. I wish I had somebody here. And so the Holy Ghost reminds me every time I'm in a battle that God loves me. The Holy Ghost is the Paracletos. He's the one that comes alongside to help me to do what I couldn't do by myself. And you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. The Holy Ghost say, yeah, I'm going to show you how to make it. Oh, yeah, you say, I think I'm going to just give up and throw in the towel. And when you throw it, the Holy Ghost catches it and throw it back to you and say, you can't, because this is not your battle. This battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. This battle don't belong to you. So all you need to do is praise me. Come here, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20:20. He said, you no need to fight in this battle because this battle is not yours. But put Judah in the forefront and let the praisers lift up their voices. Let them blow the trumpets. Let them shake the tambourines. Let them beat on the drums and watch what God does. Even with the enemy all around, God set up ambushments to Jehoshaphat, and he set up ambushments, and they defeated each other, and they began to fight. You know how the enemy is. He'll put people against you. Then he put circumstances against you. Then he messed with you on your job. All this stuff is coming against you, but then God falls in the middle of that, and God calls all those things to work against each other. But then I'm reminded of what he says just a few verses earlier in Romans 8. He says that all things, do I have anybody here that can shout with me, say all things? All things work together for the good of them that love God. And the reason why it works for my good, not just because I love God, but more importantly, it's because he loves me. Do I have anybody here, y'all just looking at me, that realize that God loves us and he's made us more than conquerors? Oh yeah, you're better than Alexander the Great. You're better than Julius Caesar. You're more than a conqueror. Do I have anybody here? You're better than any king that ever lived. You're better than Genghis Khan, who had to fight his own battles. But this battle, God will fight for you. So all the stuff that may be coming against you, you need to know that it is God's spirit and his love that will fight for you. But then Paul goes down in verse 38 and he begins to say, for I am persuaded. Now we understand that God's love is cohesive and his love causes us to be conquerors. But now we have to have confidence in the love of God. Do I have any witnesses? He said, for I am persuaded. And when you look at the word persuaded, it means that I'm convinced. He said, I'm convinced by my own argument, by my own analogy. I'm convinced to pacify what I'm going through. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, this is my greatest asset, is that I rely on and I agree with the love of God. I believe I'm waxing confident in the love of God. So nothing, he says. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. He said, nothing in this life that I'm living in, and even if I face death, he said, I'm still convinced. That's the power of persuasion. He said, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. He said, anything in the natural, he said, I can deal with it because of the love. He said, but then when I get out of the natural and I start getting in the spiritual, he said, angels are principalities. Even anything in the spirit realm, he said, I'm still confident, even though I can't see it. Even everything I see in this life, and everything I see and I can't see in the other life, he said, I'm still confident. He said, powers, not things present, not things to come. He said, anything that is of power, anything that has authority, he said, anything that lives right now, anything that can ever rise up. Do I have any witnesses here? He said, anything that can rise up in my life, anything that can come up in my life, he said, I'm still persuaded. That's the power of persuasion. I'm persuaded because I have an experience. Oh, come on and say amen. He said in verse 39, nor height nor depth. I don't care how high it gets. I don't care how low down and dirty it gets. Do I have any witnesses? He said, nothing that God has created, nothing that anything been created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so what are you saying here? I'm saying that I'm persuaded because I've been through some stuff. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I'm persuaded that when I was shipwrecked, I realized that it was the love of God that kept me 3 days and three nights in the sea. Oh, come on and say amen. I realized that when the snake bit me, I was persuaded then that I shook it off into the fire and I couldn't die right then because God had a purpose for me. Do I have any witnesses? I realized that when they conspired against me and they decided that they wouldn't eat any food until they saw me dead, that they had to die of starvation because the love of God kept me and let me down in a basket at night. Do I have any witnesses? I realized that even when I was in the Philippian jail, that the love of God that loved me, that when I was there, I sang praises. Me and Silas at midnight prayed and sang praises unto God. Our chains fell off and the doors was open, and the same people that whipped us were the same one that washed us. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm persuaded? See, Paul had a lot of things that he went through in life. He said, three times were I beat with 39 stripes except one. What was Paul saying? You see, in that day, they believed that if I give you 39 stripes, the 40th stripe was the death blow. If they hit you 40 times, you were sure to die. But Paul said, for some reason, three times in a row, they only gave me 39. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Paul said, I'm persuaded. After all I've been through, I still believe. After all I've encountered, I still have faith. After all the devil did, and the people too, I still believe that he loves me so much. How did you make it? He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me so much that he didn't let the devil kill me. He didn't let the people misuse me. He brought me back. They saw me go down, but God let them see me come back up. Do I have any witnesses? Why don't you say yes here? I'm persuaded. Anybody else say you're persuaded? I'm persuaded that the love of God, no matter where I go, no matter what jail they put me in, no matter how many stripes I get, no matter how many people conspire against me, no matter where I end up, I believe that God's love for me is so powerful, is so great, that it'll pick me up out of the most horrible situations, that it'll give me confidence. It'll wipe me off and say, it's going to be all right. It's God's love that says, son, you got to get up. Go face your troubles. I'm right there with you. He said, he'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me, but he'll be with me to the end of the world. You got to realize that nothing is too hard for God. He can do anything but lie, die, and fail. Do I have anybody that realized today that God will be with you no matter what you're going through? You may be going through a famine. You may feel lonely, but you're not alone. He'll never leave you by yourself. You might be sick, but you need to know his love. His love said, with his stripes, you've been healed. Come on and say, yeah. You might have weapons that has been formed against you, trying to destroy your life, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do I have anybody? Say, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm persuaded that the love of God will help me through the lies, that the love of God will help me through the deceit, that the love of God, oh, come on and say yes, will help me out when friends turn their back on me. It's the love of God that I'm persuaded in. You see, Paul was there. He had a thorn in the
flesh, but what kept him going was the love of God. If I got anything to tell you, all I got to say today is be confident that God loves you no matter where you are. You might be the chief of sinners. You might think you're the worst person in the world. Don't let condemnation come on you, but you need to realize today that it's God's love. He justified me by his love. The Bible tells us the story of Jesus Christ, that God loved the world and he sent Jesus to die. He died on an old rugged cross. Why did he die? He wasn't the nails that held him. Oh, the Mississippi Mass sang this song. Wasn't the nails in his feet that held him there. Wasn't the nails in his hand that held him there. Wasn't the fact they pierced him in his side. But it was the love of God that held him on the cross. But guess what else? It was the love of God that let him go down to hell and take captivity captive and come back to the grave and wait 3 days, because early, say early Sunday morning, he got up because love lifted him. He rose up from the dead, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So it's the power of love. Anybody here realize the power of love? The power of love will get you through your trial. The power of love will help you through your pain. The power of love. Are you persuaded this morning that God loves you? I dare you to let the devil know. You ought to rally your head back and say, even though I'm going through, God still loves me. Even though trouble rise, God still loves me. Even though they lied on me and talked about me like I had a tail, called me everything but a child of God, God still loves me. You can look at me and talk as much as you please, but God still loves me. I don't care what you think about me. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the one that he had on his mind when he sent Jesus here, because he loves me. Say yeah. The love of God. Anybody here know about the love of God? Won't he be with you? Won't he love you? Won't he rock you? Whenever you're all by yourself, won't he? Won't he be with you? When all your friends turn their back, he'll be a friend. When you seem to be friendless, he'll be a mother. When you seem to be motherless, when your father and mother forsake you, the love of God will lift you up. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God, because he loves you, will lift up a standard. Anybody here believe what I'm saying today? That is the love of God. Now, a lot of people preach everything else. A lot of people preach about prosperity. The preachers preach about faith. They preach about grab it and have it, call it and haul it, name it and claim it. But I want to preach to you about what really matters, because if he loves you, you ain't got to call it and haul it. He'll give it to you anyway. If he loves you, you ain't got to blab it and grab it. He wants you to have it anyway. It pleases the Father to give you the kingdom. Come on and say yes. You ain't got to walk around it 7 times. You ain't got to call me up and say, Pastor, bring you all. Lay hands on this car. If God know you need it, he gonna give it to you, because he loves you. Do I have anybody that realize today that he loves you so much that it doesn't matter about your sin? You ain't got to go back and say, I've been too bad. God is not a spiritual. He's not a Santa Claus. Do I have any witnesses? God doesn't have a list that say who's been naughty and who's been nice. But what God says, when I see them, I see them through the blood. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you a story. They have a story that says that it had a woman that was in this village. in South America, and she said that she heard from God. She said she was praying, and God spoke to her. So she confessed it to the priest. The priest called the bishop and said, "Bishop, they got a woman down here that said God can hear her, and God talks back to her. Oh, come on and say yes." But when the bishop heard it, she said, "Ask her this." He said, "Ask God what my last confession was, since she says she heard God. Ask God what I said in my last confession." The woman got the word from the priest that the bishop wanted to know, since you're talking to God and God talking to you, what did the bishop say? At his last confession, the woman prayed. She went back to the church, sat down in the confession booth. She said, "Mr. Priest, you need to tell the bishop that God said, I don't remember, because he loves you so much that he take your sins, put them in the sea of forgiveness, and remember them no more." What am I saying? Last but not least, God loved you so much that he don't remember your sin. All you have to do is repent from your sin, and he washes them away. Come on and say yes. Say yeah. Anybody here know that he loves you? Anybody here know that he care about you? He said, "Cast your cares upon him, for he care for you." Say yeah. Say yeah. Anybody here know that he's all right? Is he all right? I said, is he all right? Is he all right to live with? All right to die with? Why is he all right? When I look at my life and I realize and I think it over, where the Lord brought me from, how he blessed my life, how he picked me up and he turned me around. When I was on the path of destruction, he delivered me. When I was sick, he healed me. When I had nobody, he helped me. When I look at all that, I may not know a whole lot about the Lord. You may know more than I know, and I may not know three things, and I may not even know two things, but one thing I know is that I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Anybody with me? You need to tell your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know is that I know he's all right." Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I say, yes, he is. Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he be a friend? Won't he bless you? Won't he love you? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yeah. Say yeah. We're more than conquerors. The power of persuasion. God finds a way to persuade each and every one of us. Every time it seems like you're down, God still picks you up. When it seems like you're wrong, somehow he makes things turn out right. I don't know how and why he do it, but all I can tell you is that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. His love is cohesive. His love is there. He has some stick to it. He's not like people. They love you 1 minute and hate you the next. Oh, they eat you up 1 minute. Can't tell them nothing about you. But the next minute, oh yeah, let me tell you what I heard. Wishing and praying for you to fail. That's people. But the love of God, God still loves you in spite of. Do you know that you can't do it? The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And what that means is that I don't care how bad you sin, grace, his love, abounds far much more than your sin. It reaches down to the iniquity.
That's why he was bruised for your iniquity. The bruise means, it means the wound underneath the skin. What's underneath? He was bruised for that. Because of his love, he endured that. His love. But listen, it's not a license for you to sin just because he loves you. Don't frustrate the grace of God. When you know you're in the wrong, you need to stop and turn to the right because he loves you. You need to say, man, God loves me so much, I ain't got no business doing this. God loves me so much, he has a plan for me. I can't keep doing this. I can't keep going this direction. I have to turn. Be able to talk to yourself. That's what they say, the first sign of insanity is that you talk to yourself. The second sign is that you answer yourself. Well, guess what? You have to be insane to believe in what you can't see. So I believe in what I can't see. I can't see it. I can't see him. But I know. I'm persuaded. I can't see what he has down the road. But I know, I'm persuaded. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for him. But it's been revealed by his spirit. And why do we have his spirit? We have his spirit because he loves us. It's a gift from him. And the spirit of God is the one that shares the love. Make sure we understand that. God loves us. The Holy Ghost reminds us of his love. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance. You'll remember that, oh, God loves me. He's not going to let me down. He said if you believe in him, you should not be ashamed. In other words, you won't be disappointed. You won't be let down because of his love. How many of us let down people that we love? We try to be there for them. And God is much greater than us. He said, you, what you do for your children? He said, how many of you give your children bread, a stone for bread, or a serpent for fish? He said, but if you do that for your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Ghost to them that love him? He loves you. The question is today, is that do you love him? He loves you unconditionally. The question is, will you love him in your condition? Will you love him? Will you stay with him? Will you be steadfast? Or will you seek to do whatever you want to do? Self-serving rather than God-serving. Self-serving pay little. You get a little pleasure from serving yourself. But when you serve God, you have abundance. He can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or even think according to the power that works in us. It's nothing too hard for God. He will withhold no good thing from you. And the reason is because he loves you. He loves you. Tell yourself, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to pull me apart from his love. Now, I used to hear people quote that and they say, I ain't going nowhere. It's because I love him. Nothing can separate me. No. What that means is that even if you decide to, his love still remains. Amen. Even when you're wrong, his love still is there for you. And a love like that, he said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The reason we go to him is because you realize there's no greater love. Nobody out there can love you like that. No one. I remember Anita Baker used to sing a song, no one in the world can love me the way he do. God loves you greater than anybody else. That's the real love. That's the true love. That's the agape. You know, we talk about, well, you got to love them. And you know, we got people that do all kind of stuff and people that pride themselves to live outside of the law of God, what God intends for us. And that can go, you can put anything in there that you want, you know, underline it, whatever you want to. But, and we say, you know, well, you know, we Christians, we supposed to love them. We do. But he never said, and we got to understand there's a difference when you look at the Greek words for love. English gives us no justice for the word love because it only allows you to love one person. But when you look at the definition of love in the Greek, you have eros, which is a different kind of love. It is the love between a husband and a wife. Eros. And you have filio, which is brotherly love. And we filio people too much, meaning that we accept everything they say and do. When God is not telling us to filio them, he's telling us to agape them. A sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. What that mean is, what does God do for us? When we're wrong, the Bible says he chastens them that he loves. That's the kind of love we're supposed to give. But the world holds a gun to our head and say, you're supposed to filio. You're supposed to love them. Let them do what they want to do. But I'm not going to let the world hold a gun to my head and make me feel.